So, welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Rob Siefker, who is Senior Director of Customer Service Operations at Zappos. Hi, Rob. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Now, I know it's early in the morning for you, Rob, so I just want to say kind of chapeau, or I'm tipping my hat to you across the audio waves, as it were, to say that it's 7:30 in the morning for you, so kind of fair play for getting up so early. But
You're welcome.
So, but Rob, for the benefit of our listeners and readers, can you tell us a little bit about you and a bit about the work that you do?
Sure. Well, I've been at Zappos for over 12 years now. I started the company in 2004, answering phone calls at the end of the holiday season that year. And my job at Zappos when I started in San Francisco was not too long after I got out of college. I was still very young. I was 23 years old then. And since then, just stuck with Zappos, moved to Las Vegas when the company relocated. My main functions and jobs in the company have been in the call center. But I've also, I get involved in a lot of different things with the business to help with the culture, help with service, represent the company in situations such as this one, do interviews. I do speaking engagements on behalf of the company. So those are a few of the things that I've been able to assist on over the years.
Okay. Now, Zappos is lauded for its approach to customer service. I mean, it's a bit of a customer service or customer experience kind of darling, as it were. But if I was to ask you, kind of, what do you think? If I was to ask you to boil down Zappos' approach to customer service down to its essence, I mean, I know this is probably a really hard question, but what would you say is the secret behind Zappos' success?
Wow, that's a big loaded question. I think it starts with our employees and our people and culture. I think that we hire for people that fit well into the company.
Yeah.
That have the right personality for the kind of company that we are. And, that you build a great team of people and they can do remarkable things. And so I would say it starts there from the moment we hire folks and we create as positive of an environment as we can through the ups and downs inevitably that happen for any business. And, we empower our employees to do the right thing. And
right.
I think that is also goes a long way.
I mean, it's interesting because it's in many ways, I hear that from a lot of people in terms of, and that seems to be the secret of success in many kind of businesses, hiring the right people and empowering them to do the right thing. But I guess it seems to me that the difference between success and, being successful and the different levels of success is almost like how well you sort of execute that and how disciplined you are towards that and your commitment to that, hiring the right people and empowering them. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I guess, if you are out there talking to folks for sure and listening, you're going to hear a lot of the same things. And so I'm sure it comes down to the execution of that. I'd like to think that we just have the right attention to detail. We're not perfect by any means, but, we do put a lot of focus and emphasis on the onboarding process early on. And we really try to set a good foundation for our employees. And I'd say we're pretty intense about it in a good way, in a fun way.
Right.
And that makes a big difference, And not everybody is a fit for Zappos. And we want to do as best we can to find that out before we hire somebody, but sometimes you find out afterwards, and sometimes we have to make the decision to part ways with an employee, and sometimes they decide.
Yeah.
We still have an offer open for employees in the beginning of their career where we offer them cash to leave if they don't think it's the right fit for them.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't get a ton of people that take that, but we do have people who decide that it's just not the right place for them.
So, I guess it's just that in itself. I mean, I've heard about that before. I mean, it's just almost like a series of, you go through a identification and recruitment and hiring kind of process, but then you go through an onboarding process, and then it's almost like, it seems to be there's a series of filters along the way, which is trying to not necessarily weed out the kind of people that you don't want, but actually trying to find the people that you do want, I guess. But then doing it in a way that it becomes a mutual agreement in many ways.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
But I also kind of know that over the last kind of few years is a way of, if you like, spreading the word and helping other sort of firms. I mean, Zappos has created Zappos Insight, which I guess is the part of the business that helps people kind of understand what Zappos do, but also, you know, allows people to, personnel like your members of the team, like yourself, to go out and speak and just to advise other people that want to follow in Zappos' footsteps. But within that, there's a school of wow. And I think, wow, that's great, because, I mean, I was lucky enough just to have published a book recently called How to Wow. So I'm really interested in the school of wow side of things. But wanted to ask you, what does wow mean to you and Zappos?
It's hard to describe it always. I mean, I think that any time you think about the moments in life during your day, or, I mean, it doesn't always happen very often.
Yeah.
Where you say, wow, it's a sense of awe.
Yeah.
Generally it is a positive thing.
Yes.
Every once in a while you say wow in a negative fashion, but I think it's something that it evokes an emotional response that's positive and inspiring. And, we talk about all the time about connecting with our customers on an emotional level.
Right.
And we do the same thing with each other in the office, and you know, employees will do great things for customers and they also do great things for each other. And that's the kind of stuff that makes me say, wow, and it's impressive. And that's what I think about when I try to put it into words, I guess.
Yeah. You know, I know there's lots of kind of stories that have kind of come out of that, but could you give me a sort of like a couple of examples where you've, you know, some of the guys and girls that you've worked with, that they've done some things in the, I don't know, in recent times where they've just helped out a customer or helped out kind of each other, and you've just gone, yeah, you've just gone, wow, that's brilliant. Because then that, I guess what I'm searching for is trying to bring things to life, because we can talk about some of these things, but it's almost trying to, like you say, it's hard to explain, but finding the examples that sort of bring them to those things to life can be really helpful, I think.
Yeah, the most recent example that stands out was a couple of weeks ago. We had an employee at Zappos that's worked at the company for a long time, and she had been going through a really tough time. Her mother had passed away, and she got forwarded from a friend, mm-hmm. A Facebook post from a customer.
Yeah.
The lady's husband had passed away. She called up Zappos. She needed to return shoes that her husband hadn't been even given the opportunity to wear yet. She wanted to return them, and our employee just refunded her and told her not to bother with returning it. She had plenty of other things to do. And it was just kind of serendipitous that it was sent, this long Facebook post that the customer wrote, just about the compassion of it all and how, you know, the business side of death, you have to call all sorts of companies and you have, you know, you get these very kind of, oh, I'm sorry for your loss kind of comments from people, but they don't seem to really care. It's just what they have to say.
Sure.
And our employee left a completely different impression on her in terms of her tone and how she treated her and the compassion that she showed in the moment. And the Facebook post was super emotional that this lady wrote. I mean, it was hard not to tear up, honestly.
Sure.
And that was, you know, that was a really, I mean, that's exactly what we would want our employee to do.
Yeah.
We don't have extensive training on what to do and if somebody's family member passes away. We have our, you know, we do talk about that with our employees, but, you know, in that moment when you're talking to a customer, how do you truly handle your voice and your ability to communicate and show empathy.
Yeah.
Because we're on the phone with people, so you don't have the tool of body language that you can show someone. You only have your voice and the tone and the inflection. And,
yeah.
And it's just, that was a powerful example, I think, of something that's amazing that our employees do.
Yeah, no, that's an incredible story. That's fantastic. I mean, but if I circle back to what you were saying kind of earlier on, I mean, you're talking about how the onboarding and recruitment and finding the right sort of people and things. But you were talking about, you also mentioning to people doing the right thing for your customers, but also for each other, for employees. I mean, there's a big sort of growing discussion around, I mean, people talk about the customer experience, but there seems to be a growing sort of discussion around, well, if we're spending that much time on the customer experience, we should probably spend as much time thinking about what is our employees' experience. I mean, is that something that obviously you think of, but do you think of it as being distinct in from other things? Are you can have people that look at what is the employee experience across the piece, or is it just one kind of, you just look at it holistically?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would look at it a little bit more holistically. I mean, all of those things cross paths and flow together so much.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the big things for us at Zappos about the employee experience is, you know, the employee experience is going to be a good or not great as they want to make it, because they have the ability to impact their environment, to change the way that we do things. They have a powerful voice. If they want things to get better in a certain area, they have the ability to help move the needle in there. And it's not just up to one person, one group to make the employee experience great. It's up to all of us to make the culture what we want it to be. And sure, there are certain people that have maybe a larger impact because of their experience or the things that they're able to accomplish and get done for the group. But, you know, it's a collaborative team group effort to make the employee experience wonderful. And once we can do that well, it just translates into our ability to provide great customer service.
And is that related to, you talk about people having sort of the ability and the responsibility to create their own sort of impact. And is that related to just basically how you've built your kind of culture and sort of almost getting you almost demand and require and encourage and nurture kind of everybody to get involved? Or is that also a function of some of the organizational changes that you've been implementing kind of recently, particularly around, you know, holacracy?
My take on it and my experience at Zappos over the years, that's just always been the way we do things.
Right.
And it's never been a huge top-down type of organization. And, you know, I was able to impact the culture in a lot of positive ways. And, you know, nobody's telling you exactly what you need to do or how you need to do it. You just go out and do what you think is the best thing for the company. And now Holacracy makes a little bit of that participation more explicit, that it's required to help out in certain ways, and more explicit in terms of maybe how to do it, because not everybody necessarily had the tools or the right mindset or understanding of how to impact the business. And now Holacracy provides a different set of tools for people to participate in that. It certainly is a challenging learning curve, but it also is a very powerful tool.
And let's back up a little bit. I mean, on Holacracy, I mean, there's a lot of talk about it, but for some people that don't necessarily sort of understand where it is or haven't heard the term, can you kind of simply explain what does it mean and how you're kind of going about sort of implementing that? Because I mean, it's just fascinating. It's almost like, well, we used to do business like this, and now we're just going to throw away all of that and do something completely different.
Yeah. trying to describe Holacracy in a quick snippet of words. It's purpose-driven, team-oriented kind of way of governing work and making implicit things in terms of accountabilities and authority on decision making explicit through a governance process, and you have different role holders. So instead of being based on titles and what you might think somebody's responsible for, we literally break out all of the different roles into very defined role, purpose, and accountabilities, and they're grouped together based on the type of work that it is. So, for example, I was in our old world, and externally still, if I was speaking at an event, I would be referred to as the senior director of the customer loyalty team.
Right.
But as any professional knows, that your title does not dictate exactly all of the different things that you do. And so I have, you know, you talk about wearing many hats. Well, I have many roles that are explicitly called out, and those are the roles that I energize, and I have the authority to do work within those specific roles. So it gives you the group and the team clear expectations of what each person is responsible for. So you don't make an assumption of what someone's responsible for. They're either responsible for it or they're not. And you have a process for clarifying if there is an issue of maybe something, no one is responsible for something and it wasn't getting done and it's important. You can create the clear expectation that a role will be responsible for it, and then a role would get assigned to somebody.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to think about what that actually kind of means in reality. And can you give me an example of kind of say, I guess it'd be a business objective or something that you wanted to get done, and how the new organizational structure would facilitate the achievement of that?
I mean, in a lot of ways, I don't think of it as being vastly different than anything else. You have the teams that are responsible for either you have a role or person. In some cases, maybe a strategic decision that I'm responsible for based on the roles that I have. And you have your tech team and training team that need to work on a project together, and you work with the specific role holders that will help drive that project forward, and then you just get it done.
Oh, okay.
Just like you would in any other kind of grouping. So, I think it just makes it very clear of what roles are helping achieve that goal.
And so is the real difference then? Forgive me if this is a silly question, but is the real difference that what it does do is it frees people up from this, you know, traditional organizational sort of structure where you have a very defined sort of almost limited role into, it allows people to work across kind of boundaries and across kind of teams, and therefore you can have multiple roles, and therefore it encourages just cooperation and collaboration just to get stuff done?
I would say yes, it does encourage those things in terms of collaboration. I think that, you know, some of the growing pains and the learning curve part make it a little challenging at times, but in general, yeah, I mean, I think that it makes it liberating in terms of what you think your expectations are of yourself or of others. And, you know, in my role, I would say there are a lot of people who would think of Holacracy, and some people say it's like a flat organization, that there's no hierarchy and no structure. And the reality is there's probably more structure and there is hierarchy still. But it's more clear than what we used to have in terms of our structure. It's a lot more explicit. And for me, you know, I'd say some leaders were very intimidated by the whole idea of it, thinking that they were somehow going to be devalued or not important. And for me, I thought it was very liberating, fun, and one, logically, it makes a lot of sense. And I feel like I've been busier in a good way,
right,
than I've ever been before. And while there was a period of time that was incredibly challenging and hard for me personally, I've found it to be very rewarding and very engaging. And in general, as a whole, I think we're, you know, really turning a corner in terms of the whole implementation of it and trying to kind of hum along in a good, positive way.
And so, you know, on that sort of point, I mean, then you talked about sort of growing pains. Is it that Have you actually experienced some fallout kind of from this? I mean, you mentioned leaders and things that is in that in fallout in terms of kind of people and performance in terms of moving to this new sort of structure, but you're now sort of turning the corner on that?
Yeah, well, I don't know if you're aware, but last year we had a very big announcement to the company that if people didn't want to participate in Holacracy and help redefine and reinvent Zappos as a company, that they could leave. And it was similar to how we offered new employees an amount of money if they want to go.
Sure.
It was basically open for anybody at the company at this point to either you're on board or you're not. And if you're not, you have this opportunity to go.
Yeah.
And there's a financial benefit and incentive to go. And we, in our area, in the call center, we lost quite a few of our management team. Some people that it was just not going to be a good fit for them. They were lost in the implementation. They were frustrated. And some that left because they'd been at Zappos for a long time and it was a great opportunity for them to go do something else.
Right.
So it was a mix of reasons why people left. But we did lose a lot of experienced employees at that time. Some that, you know, was definitely a loss to see them go. But they had, you know, different ideas in mind and it was positive for them. And but again, also there were some folks that left because they just were really frustrated as well. That was another aspect of it. And if that was how they felt, then it was probably best that they did go.
Well, exactly. I mean, at least you're giving them an opportunity and out, which many don't get if they work for other kind of companies and they become some of the unengaged workforce, I guess, and become more of a, can become almost like, not necessarily a hindrance, but they're not necessarily pushing as much as everybody else.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this sounds like, I mean, massive change, massive kind of program, you know, there's been a bit of displacement and things. I mean, reflecting on it, would you have done anything different? I mean, I guess it's a big kind of question. It's possibly a little bit too early to tell, but I mean, is there anything you think, as we're going through this, I wish we'd done that better? Or is it just like you're in it and you're still kind of almost like turning the corner on it now?
Well, I mean, who in life could go through it and look in the past and say that they couldn't have done anything different? I don't know if there's anybody who could do that. Of course, hindsight is 20/20.
Sure.
I think there are a lot of things that I would have done differently, but you don't know what you don't know. You know, you can't gain the knowledge and experience from something before you've done it. And so, sure, there are certainly some things that we could have done differently that would have avoided a lot of frustration, probably improved the speed and success at which we would be changing and implementing.
Yeah.
For sure. I personally made mistakes.
Right.
The company made mistakes with it, but they, you know, not with ill intent.
No, not at all. It's just kind of one of those kind of things.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need space to kind of reflect on things as well.
Yeah, sure, sure. There are countless things that we would want to do differently. But, you know, at the same time, I kind of look at it as well. Man, like, if we hadn't made those mistakes, would we ever have really learned from that? You know,
sure.
Would we ever have learned what that mistake would really mean? And so, you know, I mean, it's an opportunity for us to potentially share that with other people, to help them in their journey if they're trying to reinvent their type of work in their company.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's always a silver lining or a positive to take from even those types of challenges.
Yeah. And now that you're sort of really kind of into it, I mean, how are you seeing what sort of impact are you seeing on the overall sort of business and performance of the business? I mean, I know you've got very, very high standards and you kind of you deliver, seemingly deliver consistently, but it's, are you seeing this sort of the you know, the business kind of benefits, or what sort of benefits are you seeing from this kind of change in approach?
It's an interesting question. I think that the benefits are, we still have not fully, and it will be a while, reaped the benefit of this organizational change.
Right.
But the development and the change that I have seen culturally in the areas where things have gone well and are working well with Holacracy are pretty awesome. I feel like there are a number of areas that are the employees have changed in a really good way.
Right.
And the relationships between people and the areas that are going well are more honest, and
Right. That's
healthy, and more honest both in a good and a challenging way, and that to see that spread more will be amazing, because the culture will be getting stronger with that, and we've certainly gone through a little bit of a dip with this change, and being able to start to see some of the benefits come to fruition in even in small pockets at times is huge. And I think that was, when that spreads enough, we will truly start seeing more positive benefit from it. We still have a ways to go, but I'm seeing some good signs.
Excellent. I mean, and yes, I know it's a journey, and you don't, and it's not a journey that's come to, you're not even at the end of the first leg of the journey, but I just wanted to get your sort of sense of, you know, kind of where you're at. But it sounds like the positive coming out from, you know, the communication, the culture, the kind of the learning environment that you're creating, how is everybody's getting kind of knitted together, and whilst it might be a it's not an easy road, it's a road that you kind of you're starting to see increasing kind of benefits from.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's correct.
So, what are the big? I mean, is this still the big challenge and the next big thing for Zappos, or what's next on your agenda, or if you add something else, will that be start to give yourself indigestion?
we've never been shy to pile on change at Zappos. I mean, I think that the organizational change is definitely in trying to reinvent ourselves internally and how we do business is the biggest challenge that I've seen the company try to go through since I've worked at the company.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's a big one. And trying to figure out how to do that in a way in the call center that allows us to improve the customer experience and find new ways to build customer experiences that make sense for our customer base, that add value to their experience and that make sense for them, that they enjoy. And we're, you know, always working on things, constantly evolving.
And do you have plans to kind of to expand overseas anytime soon? Because I think I'd love to see Zappos come to the UK.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea. I hear that question quite often, but I'm not the one to ask about that.
No, I just thought I'd ask anyway. Just kind of put it out there. But so, final couple of questions. So you talked about, you've got the School of Wow in Zappos Insights. And if I was to say to you, what would be your advice to anybody out there who's listening or reading the highlights of this interview, to, if they wanted to create or deliver their own sort of wow service, what would be your top tips to them if they wanted to do that?
Well, I would start with what is the makeup of your team now, and how do you think that team can deliver on what you expect and what you want to create for your customers?
Mm-hmm.
If that makeup needs to change, then you need to figure out a way to make that happen. And I would be obsessive about the hiring and onboarding process of new employees, because that is such an important part of having a strong team.
Mm-hmm.
I would look at what is your training? How much power do you truly give to your employees to make the right decision for customers?
Right.
If there is a limitation, then you have to seriously question whether or not that really makes sense for you. And yeah, I mean, I would, and then systematically with the service that you are providing, are you truly trying to make that experience easy for customers?
Right.
Or do you have unintended kind of hoops that they have to go through to be a customer?
Sure.
And should be as seamless and easy as possible for people to be a customer. And, you know, create a strong culture. Fantastic. You know, whatever that means for you. But create something that you are proud of.
So thank you for that, Rob. And then, so this brings me on to my final question, which I always ask when I do these interviews, and I'm now sort of 180 or so interviews into this long kind of journey of mine of sort of discovery. But the question is this, Rob, is there anything that you'd like to shamelessly plug?
Well, I think you already did it. The Zappos Insights website and our team do a really great job of sharing our experiences and what we do with the world, really. And, you know, we have the School of WOW, which you mentioned. We do, in the States, we have teams that travel to other companies and do on-site trainings for their customer service teams. And then we also have an on-site. We have people visiting our office, taking tours of our office, doing leadership kind of training for a day, and we have different types of programs for people to come and learn how we get things done and what makes us tick. And I think those are valuable tools for people.
Perfect. Well, Rob, thanks for that. I mean, I'll make sure I get all that linked up and edited up and things, but just, you know, thank you for your time and sharing your experience today and give us a peek under the bonnet of what it is to work in Zappos and also a peek inside sort of Zappos' journey with Holacracy, even though it's only part of the journey so far. But just wanted to say thank you for the time and sharing your expertise and insight. That's been great.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.